Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, the 11th of October, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Kelly. How you doing?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm good. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
And also with you. I'm not sure how that works.
Not me either.
Something like that. But yes, a happy Indigenous People Day, especially if you got today off, then congratulations on your extended weekend. I tend to be pro Mondays off because it makes Tuesday feel a little nicer. So yeah. This has been Days of the Week with Jeff and Kelly. Let's see if we have any news to discuss. I know, Jeff, you've got an interesting bit of information about Apple and their relationship with cars.
Yeah, they've got a new component that they're supposedly working on related to CarPlay. CarPlay's been around now for about 7 years, dealing just with, you know, the infotainment of your car.
Right.
Navigation, your music, you know, things like that. Well, now Apple wants to get into deeper integration, and they're looking to tie into the climate control system, the instrument cluster, specifically your speedometer, tachometer, and fuel gauge, along with all of the different speaker settings in your car and your seats and your armrests.
Interesting. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So basically it would tie in, and basically you would be able to control almost every part of your car, from CarPlay.
Interesting. Okay.
Now the question is it going to get off the ground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year, wasn't it, they tried to get more involved in unlocking cars from the iPhone, tying in with CarPlay, and that didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, and it only still sort of is, because there's one of the things we got this last summer at WWDC was car keys, like being able to keep your car key in your phone, so to speak. So, yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like something that the automakers are particularly excited about.
No,
at least at this point.
Car key itself is only available on some models of the BMW. No other automaker is taking it on.
Yeah. And I think part of that, and this is a theory, this has nothing, this is based on nothing except knowing what most infotainment systems look like now, and that is basically, if you thought Android was a fractured landscape, let me talk to you about the kind of stuff that connects to your car. Like, every car maker has their own custom brand of infotainment interface, and like the amount of stuff that you can do once you connect your phone to it, how to connect your phone to it, what the menus look like once you've connected your phone, all that kind of stuff is different in like every automobile. And I know this because all of my family drives all different kinds of cars, and they all come to me and say, I need to know how to hook this to my phone. And it's different for everybody. So apparently infotainment systems are like snowflakes, and no one seems to be able to agree, even if the underlying technology is the same thing or all from the same place, like Microsoft Sync or whatever it's called. A number of places use that, but they all have their own wrapper around it so that it's not quite the same. So it seems like something that sounds really nice as a user experience. And that means that the car makers are never going to get behind it, is kind of my stance on that.
Right. Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, they at the same time as car key, they announced electric vehicle routing, and that just hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And of course, the fact that Apple is in the middle of developing its own car, might make the automakers even less likely to agree to, hey, let's give Apple deeper integration with our vehicles.
Right. And that's part of why I think that this, there's an excellent chance that this isn't going to really get off the ground, is because I imagine in the auto industry, it's an even more open secret than it is in the tech industry that Apple's in the automobile market, or wanting to be in the automobile market. So I can't imagine anybody's hot to literally hand the keys over to their competition or who they perceive to be the competition, you know, out there on the horizon. So I don't imagine that being a conversation that goes particularly well. On the other hand, I could see the advantage to, like, you know, being able to integrate to the next step, you know, like we already have. Like if your car has power seats, sometimes they have memory. So you can have like your seat and the other person who drives the car also has their seat settings. And so maybe if you unlock the car with one phone, it moves to that setting. And if you unlock it with the other phone, it moves to the other setting. You know, something like that, that you could use as part of the car key stuff might be pretty handy. That said, I'm really not in the market for a BMW. But if they wanted me to drive one for a while as a test unit for science, I would be more than happy to do that.
You wouldn't say no.
I would not say no. I would not. I would take that one on the chin for our TMO audience, because I'm here for you, listeners and readers.
And speaking of our TMO audience, here's the interesting thing: is if enough iPhone fans said to Ford, General Motors, Nissan, etc., we want this functionality in CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
What influence do you think that might have?
You know, I don't know. Because I don't even think CarPlay is particularly prevalent, let alone wireless CarPlay.
It's not wireless CarPlay. I mean, it's really only in a few models right now, but it is coming and it is growing. It's only been available for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
And third-party systems have started adopting it.
Okay. Yeah, that was the thing I was wondering about. Particularly because I'm not in the market for a new car, but I am in the market for CarPlay. So if you know a head unit, listeners.
Boss Audio offers wireless CarPlay.
Okay.
Out of the box.
Even wired CarPlay, if you have installed an aftermarket head unit that has CarPlay integration, whether it's wired or not, I would really be interested in finding out your experience with that. So you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So if you have one of those, I would very much appreciate finding out more about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, the Ironheart stuff is interesting, I have to say. And I will point out that part of why I think it's interesting is because they named it after a comic book character, if it sounds familiar. Riri Williams is a teenage girl. She's 15 or 16, is an MIT student who managed to scrounge enough stuff to build her own Iron Man suit, in essence. And eventually has a showdown with Tony Stark, and there's a whole thing, and she's getting her own show soon, and she's going to be a lot of fun. So I thought it was interesting when you said, there's been this story about Ironheart, and I went, wait, what? And it turned out not to be what I thought it was at all, which is what happens when you host a comic book podcast and other people are using names from Marvel characters for stuff. So anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, they called the Apple Car Project Titan. So,
well,
you know,
it
kind of fits.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. There's probably a whole podcast in that too, but we'll have to save that for another day. Yep. We have more to talk to you about today, and what I want to do first is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Gabby. If you're looking for ways to cut costs, a really good place to start with that is auto insurance. And generally, shopping for car insurance sucks, and Gabby gets it. That's why they do all the work for you. So things that could take you days or weeks and lots of phone calls and lots of hold music, Gabby can do it for you in a few minutes. So Gabby will take your current policy and use that to compare coverage with 40 of the top auto insurance providers. And these are fast, verifiable quotes, not just ballpark guesses. Because I think we've all seen that, like, you could save up to, you know, this is an actual number. Gabby uses your current coverage so they can show you policies that are only the same or better than what you already have. And a lot of times they can do that for you at a lower price. It's free to use, and they never sell your info. If you switch to Gabby, generally people who have done this are saving on average about $80 a month over their current policy. Gabby's been featured in TechCrunch, Forbes, and USA Today. You can start saving on your auto insurance by going to Gabby.com/TDO. It's totally free. Like I said, they don't sell your information. So go to Gabby.com/TDO. That's Gabby.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Gabby for sponsoring the show this week. Now, Jeff, you had an interesting, I think you did a video for it on a thing in iOS 15 where you can drag and drop an application, but from Spotlight.
Right. From Spotlight, from Siri Suggestions, you know, you swipe down on an empty part of your iPhone screen and...
Okay, I'm going to do this live with you. Okay, so pull down.
And so if you, pull down.
And you get the little search box up at the top. Okay.
Right. But you know, before you even start typing, you've got the apps and Siri Suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you want to move one of those to your home screen.
Okay.
Or move it to a different home screen.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tap and hold and then drag it to wherever you want to put it.
Okay.
Or you can type in the app that you want to move.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if it's in your app library, but not on your home screen. It'll put it on your home screen. If it's buried in another folder, it'll move it out of that folder to wherever you want to put it.
And here's the thing is that it used to be that when you did the search, it would show you the app in the search results and the folder. And it doesn't seem to do that anymore. So I have apps that I sometimes can't find. You gave this tip, like, I know it's installed and I use it, but I don't know where the actual icon for the app is living anymore because the search results don't tell me. And so this makes it so that now I can find it and like stick it out on the home screen and then put it in the folder I think it should go in instead of wherever I actually shoved it that time when I went. I just need to put stuff in folders. So that's super great.
I guess this has been possible on the iPad ever since drag and drop first came out on the iPad.
Oh,
but it only showed up on the iPhone with iOS 15.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a super cool tip. I'm very excited about this one. I'm glad to know it also works on the iPad and has for a while. So that one is very cool because like, ever since you talked about this, like, I've been making the list of, like, here's the stuff that I can't find that I need to find. And then I can go, okay, all these things live, like, in this folder now instead. Yeah, because I think I've accidentally moved things once or twice. And then when I went to clean them up, like, where'd it go? I have no idea.
Where did that go? How did it get there?
Yeah. So, and here's another one for people playing along at home. We're going to actually play along. Because there's been a few updates recently to the firmware for AirPods, and that's AirPods and AirPods Pro and AirPods Max. And so we're going to do another little play along tip here where you can find out what version of firmware your AirPods are on right now. And here's how you do it. You tap on the settings app. And then in the settings app, in that first block of options up at the top, one of them is Bluetooth. So you tap on Bluetooth and you'll see your AirPods in there, whichever ones you have. You'll see them in there and it'll say if they're connected or not connected. And then to the right, there's a little blue eye in a circle, a letter I in a circle. And if you tap on that, it will show you all the information about your AirPods or Pros or Maxes or whatever they are. And the thing you're looking for on this screen is the version, and the version that you want to see there is 4A400. And if you don't see that number, then you'll want to make sure that they get updated. And basically the way that you make sure they get updated is you put them in the case and you open the case near your phone so that they show up and are connected. And then you close the case and then you wait a while. This is really all you have to do. And then eventually when you go in and look, the version should eventually change to 4A400. And once it's 4A400, you're up to date. And Jeff, tell us one of the notable things that comes in that particular update.
It's basically reverse active noise cancellation. It's called Conversation Booster. And what it does, and you know, we've had transparency in the AirPods Pro for a while that kind of boosts a little bit of your background noise when you need it.
Yeah.
Conversation Boost actually focuses on and detects voice conversations and boosts those. Now, you do have to turn it on, and you don't turn that on in Bluetooth settings or in the control panel. Instead, you actually have to go into the accessibility settings and turn it on there.
So you turn it on in accessibility settings. And this is, again, we got an example of this at WWDC, and I believe the example was in a restaurant. Like, if you turn your head towards the waiter as they're speaking to you, you can hear them better. Because it's also based on, I think this is, I don't know the relationship, but I think it's related to spatial audio in that, like, you turn your head and you can have the conversation with the wait staff as that person is taking your order. And then when you turn your head back to the person that you were having a conversation with, you can talk to them and still the background noise is sort of filtered out for you so that you can hear the person that you're looking at as you're talking to them and hear them a little better than you would otherwise with the background noise. So that seems like a really good thing. And I'm glad it finally showed up. It's been a while since we saw that. That was June and we're just now getting it in October. No. And there have been a few AirPods updates recently. I think this is the second, like it came out not too long after the one before it. So I think there was only a week or maybe two between, hey, there's an AirPods update, and then there's another AirPods update.
Yeah, so I think you're right. A couple friends of mine that have AirPods, they've been posting a lot about firmware updates recently.
Yeah, I want to say there have been three, but that might just be me making one up. But it definitely seems like there's been a few firmware updates recently. So definitely make sure that you are on A4A400. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're not, then like I said, connect them up and then just wait. And eventually they should be updated and you can check back later and see if that number has changed. So hopefully that works. So we'll see. Just like before, if you have any questions or feedback on the show, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or leave comments in the show notes. That goes for anything that we talk about here on the show. So that's going to do it for us today. And Jeff, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.